Mahalt daf kuf mem ches.
Kemach. Yemein kemach ein teira.
Yemein kemach ein teira. It's true. And we're up to Yiboy Lahu. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lots on the top. Yiboy Lahu. So the discussion was based on the Mishnah. If a Shchiv Merah says that he is giving away all of his stuff, then it's considered a Matna Shchiv Merah, full bore. And if he then has a miraculous recovery, he takes it all back, because the whole thing was predicated on him dying, and he was assuming that because he's going to be dead, he doesn't need anything, and therefore he gave it all away. And then when it turns out that he didn't die after all, he is able to cancel everything that he gave away, which is not the case if he left something behind in the first place. If he gave 90% of his stuff away, but he kept 10%, why did he keep 10%?
Hedging his bets.
He's hedging his bets. He doesn't expect to die, and that's why he's keeping 10%. Otherwise, what would you keep the stuff for if you're not going to be around to use it? Yeah. So then, that tells you the other 90% was not just on the assumption that he's going to die, he gave it away. It means it's a gift, and therefore he cannot change his mind if he has a miraculous recovery. That's what we said in the Mishnah. So now the question is as follows: Iboy Elohu, Dekol Echad. First, he gave as he was. So there's a whole long thing here in the Rashbam about some people try to learn Pshat here that it's actually talking about a Bori. They're talking about a healthy person, but he goes through that and says it can't be right. And the main reason why he says it can't be right is because if it was a case, it wouldn't belong in this perek. It would belong in Hamocheres Abayis or wherever.
The Gemara never learns anything out of place, does it?
Well, it doesn't usually bring any boilahu that's completely on a different topic when it already had that topic in a different perek. And the whole thing is talking about Shchiv Merah. Suddenly you just have completely separate question. So therefore, he says, it must be talking about a Matna Shchiv Merah. So what's the question? The question is that when he gives away his stuff, and he gives the tree, he has a palm tree, and in his meanderings, he gives the palm tree to Reuven, and he gives the fruit to Shimon. Now, what was going on in his mind in between when he gave the palm tree to Reuven and the fruit only to Shimon? When he gave the palm tree to Reuven, what was he keeping behind? That he wasn't giving to Reuven. Oh, so that's one way of looking at it. The other way of thinking about it is that maybe he kept the branches behind.
That's ridiculous. But why do you think he's kept anything behind? Because he gave the fruit to
one to Reuven and one to Shimon. But the point when he's given to Reuven, hasn't given to Shimon yet, so then he's left something behind. Yeah. So is the pshat, so one way of looking at it is like you said, and it's only payers, which just doesn't really matter. Or is it actually that he didn't mean to give the whole tree away? He gave only the tree, excluding the branches. And the branches he kept. And guess what? When he then gave the peiros to Shimon, he still kept the branches because he only gave him peiros. And maybe the upshot of the whole thing is that he's actually kept the branches for himself. So the stump of the tree belongs to Reuven, and the fruit of the tree go to Shimon, and the branches belong to the Shchiv Merah. Mahu. So the question then is, what's the din? What does he mean? It's not even such a what's the din. It's more of a what did he mean? Well, what does he mean? Because we're saying the whole thing depends on what the guy had in mind, yeah? What did he mean? Mishir Mokimperi. Did he leave for himself the place where the fruit are growing from, commonly known as a branch? Eloishir. Or he didn't leave it behind. Yeah. If he left it behind, then we say he didn't give away all of his stuff, and therefore if he has a recovery, all of his matonis remain in place, and he cannot be chayzer. Or do we say he didn't leave anything behind, and therefore it's a complete matna shchiv merah, and therefore when he recovers, he cancels the whole lot? That's question one. Im timtza loymar la'acher loy havashir, if you'll answer that when he gave the second bit to Shimon, yeah, that means he had in his mind, I'm giving this to Reuven, I'm giving that to Shimon. And therefore, he never had in mind that he's keeping anything. He was always giving everything away. Yeah. So therefore, you could say that it's not considered a shiur. It's not like he left anything out, and it's a full bore thing. So then, if you look on the side now, the next few lines, there are so many girsas and editing and whatever, and it's actually quite difficult to work out what's going on, but we'll try our best. Shir, so let's put in the words of the Bach here. Shir la'atzmai. So if it was somebody else, you'll tell me, no, he meant to give all this to Reuven, all this to Shimon. What about if it's himself? If he's planning to leave himself the Peiris, yeah? So if you say that, well, because he's giving the tree to Reuven and the fruit to Shimon, then he wouldn't keep the branches for himself, because what for? He's giving that to him and that to him. What's he going to do with the branches? Yeah. What happens if he's keeping the fruit for himself? Does that mean he's keeping the branches also? Because remember, a shir karka, he has to leave a piece of epis. It's not just the fruit. Yeah. So if he says, I'm giving the fruit, the tree to Reuven and the fruit to Shimon, maybe that means he's giving the whole thing away. There's no reason. Let's say, if you'll come to the conclusion that there's no reason to assume that he's keeping the branches for himself, so there's no shear. Great. What happens if he's giving the tree to Reuven and keeping the fruit for himself? Yeah? So if it was just fruit, you'd say it doesn't mean anything because it's metaltalin. There's no karka. But what does that mean, that he's keeping the branches for himself or not? Yeah? Maybe he's more likely to keep it for himself when it's himself than when it's Shimon. So therefore, and chutz l'peirosov, so according to this girsa, the shir l'atzmei chutz l'peirosov is sort of all one statement. He's leaving the branches and then giving the fruit away. So he gave away the tree, he gave away the fruit, and he kept the branches. Or maybe not. Maybe he doesn't interest in the branches. Again, mahu. So what's that? What's the deal there?
So in other words, even though the Gemara doesn't mention the branches, sort of the
assumption. Well, Mokim Peri, I think, is the branches. Yeah? Uh-huh. It's not the Peris itself. It's not the Dekel itself. It's the Mokim Peri, which means the branches. The place where the Peris are growing from. Yeah.
Even though on a Dekel they actually grow out of the stem.
The fruit grows out of the stem?
Yeah.
It's one of the very few trees that happens.
Well, the dates grow straight out of the geisha.
A stick comes out.
They grab a stick and off that stick.
Ah, so the stick is the branch, whatever you want to call it. I call it a branch. It doesn't grow straight out of the geisha.
No.
Not every, Okay. Now, Amar Rav Olam Nachman, continuing in the same strain. Im Timtza Loimar. If you would come to the conclusion that Deka le'echad u'peresav la'acher, when he gave the tree to Reuven and the fruit to Shimon, lo have a shir, he didn't leave for himself or leave out of the equation the branches. What about Deka le'echad? If he gave the dekel away and he left the peiris for himself, then you would, so he gives an answer. So all the other ones were questions. This is Rava saying in the name of Nachman that even if you'll say that when he gave it to Reuven and Shimon and didn't leave anything for himself, then he gave away everything. He didn't keep the mokim peiris. But if he left the peiris for himself, shir mokim peiri. In that case, I'm answering one of the questions anyway. He says if he left the fruit for himself, that implies that he left the place on the tree where the fruit are growing from also. My time, what's the reason? Kol legabe nafshi ba'ayin yofa mishai. When a person leaves things for himself, he leaves it generously. So he's not just leaving the dates that are growing, but he actually leaves that whole... What did you call it? The branch, the stem, whatever, where the fruit are growing from.
You say the same concept when someone gives a gift?
Noisen by Yofa Noisen.
Right.
No, I think when Moichim is a Machloikis. By Noisen, I think everybody agrees. But
so over here, he's giving it to him or selling it to him?
Here, he's keeping it for himself.
No, the other part of the tree.
No, so this is not so much about the Noisen by Yofa. Here, we're talking about when you're keeping the fruit for yourself. What are you keeping?
When it says Dekel Acher,
Dekel means. Let's assume that if I just say the word,
is it a gift to someone?
It's a manashchimara, yeah, it's a gift. Right, so you're saying if he's Nosin Vanyofa, he should give him the branches as well. But the flip side is that his Mishaya, the Peiris, yeah, let's say he doesn't, if a person wants to make sure he keeps the fruit for himself, I could argue that he keeps the branches as well, because otherwise the other guy can chop the branches off and he doesn't got any fruit. So he wants to protect himself, so he would do it in Ayin Yofa so that he wouldn't have any risk to his, he wouldn't have risk to his Peiris. So there's all, I mean, ultimately it depends on what he has in mind, right? So you could argue, and Rav Nachman says it as a statement. He says, if he's leaving the fruit for himself, he's leaving the branch. He's not going to take a risk that someone comes and chops his branch off and doesn't get any
fruit. When he gives
fruit.
The fruit to somebody else, it doesn't...
When he gives the fruit to the other, that's bad luck. If Reuven chops off the branches that Shimon's fruit is growing on, well, Reuven and Shimon, as a teacher I had many years ago once said, Reuven and Shimon, they can put on the boxing gloves and they can break their heads. So that's
once he's being Mishayev, he's showing he's being Megaladas, that it's not his intention to give the entire thing to one person. He wants to leave something over. He's changing his bets. What if I have a miraculous recovery? I don't want to be left there.
So if he leaves it for himself, yes.
But that's the whole
thing. But if he gives one to Ruben and one to Mishayev,
he's not giving the whole thing to one person. So we're saying he's giving something to the other person. He's actually
no, that's not a hedge betting. Because that just means that he thinks he's going to drop dead, so he wants to give it out to different of his friends. That doesn't mean that he expects to recover. If he keeps something for himself, he expects to. He's thinking he's going to recover. If he gives it all away, he doesn't.
So for the question, has he left anything for himself? If he keeps the fruit,
that doesn't count. It has to be karka, right? Sure, karka kosher. So the branch would be considered karka, but a fruit is not considered
karka. Only legabe the paters, it's karka, or it's karka in general. I mean,
legabe this halach, it's karka.
No, because I'm saying it's metaltalin. That's a dekel shenesher. If the palm leaf falls off a tree, it's a whole discussion in Shabbos or Yom Tov about it. It's metaltalin.
I'd say dekel or paters dekel.
I'd say dekel shenesher.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't remember that one.
I don't remember from Gemara. I remember from halacha.
Look at the Torah, Mr. Stamos. So the clear assumption here is the trim just to find a few words in the Rashbam here. He says, "Ilan mechubal lekarka." Mokem haperis shir laatzmoi veilan mechubal kekarka domi vekeri ani alav shir karka kolshehu. Is that always going to be considered karka? Lagabi all halalas alachas karka. I don't know, but in this case, for sure, it's considered, calling the Mokim HaPeiris is considered karka. That's the whole question. If the Mokim HaPeiris is not considered karka, then all these questions wouldn't make any sense anyway. Okay. Now, so that was all discussed. This concept of Kol Legabe Nafshir Ba'ayin Yofa Mishayir. Yeah, so that was a discussion, which is the sort of the end of the story of these questions regarding the Matnas Shchiv Merah with his palm tree. Amale Rab Abba Ravashi. Rab Abba says to Ravashi, Anan Rav Shimon Lakish Masdin in law. This whole concept of Kol Legabe Nafshi Ba'ayin Yofa Mishayir, we actually learned it in a completely different context. What was the different context? The context was the context of Rav Shimon Lakish. The Yom Rav Shimon Lakish, Hamecher Ba'is Lachaveri. Somebody sells a house to his friend. V'yom Arloi Almanas Chadjuta Yena Shali. He says the upstairs penthouse, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, belongs to me. I'm selling you the whole building, except for the upstairs, the oita really means
a little yoina,
the penthouse. Yeah, the penthouse belongs to me. Is what's there the din? The oita yoina shaloi. So, okay, he said on condition that the penthouse is still mine, so the penthouse is still his. Turn the page, and then he boil a hu. There, on that, the question is, this is all part of the anan masnidun and the Reish Lakish, yeah? So the question that we asked was, what about Bayis Le'echor Udiyoita Le'echor? What happens if he didn't say Al Manas that the penthouse I'm keeping for myself? He sells the house to one person and he sells the penthouse to somebody else. So he's selling the whole thing. Yeah? But he's selling it not, he's strata titling it. Instead of just selling the whole building in one hit, he's strata titling it and he's subdividing it and he's selling the Iker house he's selling to Reuven, and the penthouse he's selling to Shimon. Is Mahu. So what is that? What's the question? The question is, me have a shear. Does that mean he's leaving something behind? We'll see in a second whether something. Who cares? Oiloi. Now, what do you mean something? So the whole discussion is like this. When a person, a mocher as a bayis, doesn't automatically, a normal sale of a house does not include the penthouse. If you just write a contract that says he's selling the house, the penthouse is not included. So when he writes excluding the penthouse, he didn't need to write that. So we had the principle back in Amocha Rasabayi. So when a person writes something extra that he didn't need to write in the first place, he's actually adding some other exclusion. Yeah. So what does it mean? It means that he's excluding, they say, the chutzer, that if he wants to take from his penthouse and have projections coming out of his penthouse into the chutzer, he's retaining that right as well. That's what he's adding by saying that I'm keeping the penthouse, because otherwise he would have kept the penthouse anyway. Right? So that's all when he keeps it for himself. That not only is he keeping the penthouse, he's keeping the rights to stick things out into the air from his penthouse. But what happens if he sells the house to Reuven and the penthouse to Shimon? Is he keeping that right on behalf of Shimon, who's the new owner of the penthouse? Or is it that he doesn't really care what Shimon does? It's Shimon's problem. And therefore, he doesn't mean to add on an extra right for Shimon, who's going to live upstairs. So that's the question. Me have a shear. Is he leaving something else out from what he's giving Reuven or not? And im tim tzolaymar, if you were to conclude, ba'is le'echad adyuta le'echad lo'y have a shear, if he sells the house to Reuven and the penthouse to Shimon, then that's not called leaving something else out of the sale to give extra rights to Shimon. What about chutz midiyota? What if he didn't give it to Shimon, he gave it to himself? He says, I'm selling you the house except for the diyuta. Mahu, what will be the din then? When he's keeping it for himself, is he any more generous to himself than he is to Shimon? And on that, Omar Rava, Omar Nachman, which is the same combination we just had here regarding the Dekel tree, and this is where Rav Abba says that we learned this whole statement of Rav Nachman about when you leave something for yourself, referring to this case, not to the case of the palm tree. And Rav Nachman said, if you will come to the conclusion that when he sells the house to Reuven and the penthouse to Shimon, he didn't leave anything out, and Shimon is not entitled to extra rights. Shimon gets literally the penthouse, and that is all. What about chutz midiyoyta? But if he sold the house to Reuven, and he wrote in the contract excluding the penthouse, that means to say he's leaving for himself the penthouse plus extra rights, havashir. It is an exclusion that he's leaving more for himself, because he's more generous to himself than he is to the buyer who's purchasing the penthouse. What is that thing that he's leaving out? So when you're talking about the Dekel tree in the first page, we said it's talking about the branches. What's the thing that he could be leaving out? If he sells the house to one person and the top floor to somebody else, you've covered all the floors. So what's left? What's left is a libid Rav Zvid, like Rav Zvid said, which I already said because I cheated. But Rav Zvid says, the Omar, she'im rotza lohetzi bozizid, if he wants to build out protrusions out of his top floor into the airspace of the chotzer, of the courtyard, the guy's backyard, yeah? The guy who's living downstairs has got a backyard, and the guy upstairs suddenly puts something out hanging over the other guy's backyard. So he's allowed to do that. Moitzi, he can't take it out. As Alma, we see from that, Kevin the Shir Duyuto, since he specifically stated he's leaving the penthouse out, Mokkim Zizinamishir, he includes the place where his protrusions are going to hang out.
So had he not stated that, the standard contract is assuming he's leaving that himself anyway, right?
Right, but he wouldn't get the Zizin.
Yeah.
Standard contract, he would be keeping the penthouse, but he wouldn't be keeping the space above the other guy's backyard. But now that he wrote chutz b'diyoyta, he's adding extra rights for himself, which is not that he not only keeps the penthouse, but he keeps the rights to protrude some protrusions out of it. So on that, so that's the concept where Rav Nachman said, because he's leaving it for himself, that even though if you say he sold it to Shimon, he doesn't leave that right for Shimon, but when he leaves it for himself, he's more generous to himself, and therefore he doesn't give away that right, and he's going to be allowed to make protrusions. Okay. All right, so that's the end of the question about leaving things behind. Now the Gemara goes on. Omar Rav Yosef Bramin Yomi, Omar Rav Nachman. Shchiv Merasha Kosov Kol Nechosov La'achirim. You have the fellow on his deathbed who.
According to this, so we the deck will decide different to a house.
No, you'll say anan masnin in law if you look in the brackets where it says hachanami. Then, but even if you don't have the brackets, but the concept's the same. The concept is that kol gabe atzmoi ba'ayin yofa, right? So the concept we're the same. Rav Nachman said it according to all Rav Baba's saying is Rav Nachman didn't actually say this about the shchimera. Rav Nachman said it about the house, but you could extrapolate to say it's talking about that the same thing would apply. Whenever someone leaves something for himself, he's generous. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef ben Yemi, Rav Nachman, shchimera shekasav kol nechasav la'achirim. When a person writes away all of his properties to other people, is royin. Then, so you have to royin means you have to assess what he's thinking. Im b'machalik. So what does that mean? Acherim. So we say that a person who only gives some of his property and keeps some behind, that means he's not planning to die, and therefore the gift is a gift. And even if he doesn't die, his gift applies. Now, what happens if he's giving this to Reuven and this to Shimon and this to Levi? He can't say it all at once. So when he says, I'm giving this property to Reuven, and then he pauses, does that mean he's finished that statement and now he was Mishayah stuff, and what he gave to Reuven is something that he can't be Chayzer on? And when he goes and says, now I'm giving the other property to Shimon, therefore it's like a new statement, and the one with Reuven is finished?
So is it the Nesina Behelem Echad, or is it
in one hit? Or do we say that once he started, he's intending to give it all away, but he can't say everything at once, and therefore even if he pauses in between and he's thinking about it and he goes for a cup of tea, whatever, then nevertheless it's still called Kol Nechasav. That's the question over here. If he's Gemachalik, if he's doing it like he's dividing up and he's saying, you get this, you get this, you get this, then Mace, if he died Kona Kulam, then it's a legitimate Shchivmera. So when he dies, they all acquire what he gave them. But Ahmad, if he recovers, he cancels all of those gifts because they were all a matan shchivmera with no exclusions. But in benimlach, if when he then goes, oh, Shimon's going to get that house, he said it a bit later, not at the same time, and it seems, you have to assess, it seems like he wasn't going to give it to Shimon when he started talking, and he only changed his mind later and said, oh, you know what, I'm going to give that one to Shimon. Then what happens is, when he originally gave the first one to Reuven, it was not a kol nechasav. He was leaving stuff behind. Is therefore, Mace, if he taka died, it doesn't matter. Kana kulam, they all acquire. But Omar, if he recovers, ain't a chesu ala ba'achreit. That means that first gift that he gave to Reuven does not retract, because at the time when he gave it to Reuven, he left himself a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, and therefore that gift
which
is valid.
Indicates that was a complete gift.
Yeah, right. So the first one was a complete gift. The last one, when there was nothing left, so that was the nothing left situation. So therefore, he can back out of that transaction. So the question is, on the side, Bach puts in the word nechush over here. So the Gemara asks, nechush, why is it? Why do you say that it's considered separate transactions? And therefore, the first ones are like a gift when he's healthy, and it's only the last one that's considered a shkiv merah. V'neichesh dilma yunikom ayin. Maybe he was just thinking about it. V'hadakayoy. Maybe he's just slow. He gave one thing to Reuven, and then he sat and thought about it for half an hour, and then he gave the next one to Shimon. So the Gemara answers, no. Stama de shkiv merah. A normal person, when he's on his deathbed, and he's dividing up and thinking about, right, my last will and testament, is meidik dayik v'hadayoy. First he works it all out, and then he starts telling people what he decided. He doesn't give something away, and then start thinking, oh, now I'm going to think about what I'm going to do the next day. You've got three properties. I'll give the first one away now, and then I'll start thinking about what to do with the second one. No, he works it all out first, and then he just does it. So therefore, you assume that the first one was a separate transaction. If he wrote everything away, the Omar, and he recovers, ain't a chayzer. This is blowing us away, because the Mishnah said he is chayzer. He cannot back out of the transaction if he recovers. That means even if he didn't leave anything but for himself, he still can't back out. Why not? Because if he leaves some land behind for himself, we said that he's not able to back out on the gift. But maybe he has a piece of land somewhere overseas in Switzerland that he didn't tell anybody about, and therefore he left something behind for himself, so he didn't give kol nechasav, he didn't give all his property away. So the Gemara says, if you're going to be worried about that, according to the one that Mishnah says, that if he didn't leave any land for himself, then when he recovers, the gift does not remain. You always could be worried that there's a piece of land that no one knows about. You're never going to know about something that no one knows about. So what's the Mishnah talking about, according to you? So Rav Chama says, if he uses the word kol nechasai, that includes the one that no one knows about, because he said everything. If he says the word everything, that's the Mishnah he's talking about. When we have we've already taken an audit, and we have a chazakah, we have established position that he doesn't have any. But if we don't know, we have to question, maybe he does. The next question is, what happens if he changed his mind on part of the gift? Yeah? Have a chazara bekula? Does it automatically mean that he's changed his mind on everything, or not? It's Toshima. We'll see now what that looks like. Toshima. Kula on the Rishon. A guy says, I'm giving everything to Reuven. And then a bit later, he goes, you know what? Miktos on the Sheni. I changed my mind. 50% I'm giving to Shimon. Yeah, which you can do. A Shechiv Barah is not to change his mind until he's dead. Once he's dead, it's probably too late. Yeah? It's Sheni Kana. So when he gave Shimon his 50%, there was nothing else left behind. So he's for sure Kainan. But Rishon, like Kana. Reuven, even though at the time when he gave Reuven everything, it was everything. But the fact that he changed his mind and took 50% away from Reuven, so Reuven, that means he loses altogether, but he doesn't get anything. It's like, sorry, Reuven, I changed my mind. You're not getting nothing. My love. And what is L'chayu that's talking about, B'shameis, that when the guy died, Shimon gets his bit, and Reuven doesn't get anything. So as a Gemara, loy, B'sha'omah, nah. It must be talking about, on the contrary, it's talking about when he recovers. When he recovers, then Shimon maintains his 50%, but Reuven doesn't get anything. Why? Because Reuven's gift was cancelled, and therefore he gets nothing. Shimon's gift was not a 100% gift. It was a 50% gift, and therefore, even when he recovers, the gift is valid. It's logical to say that's the pshat. Midikatoni is safer, because the next part says, by the way around, if he gave 50% to Reuven, and then he changed his mind and gave 100% to Shimon, Rishon Kana, Sheni Loi Kana, so Reuven gets his 50%, and Shimon doesn't get anything. So what's the case over there? He changed his mind and gave 100% to Shimon. Why is Reuven getting it? Shimon doesn't. If you're talking about where the guy recovered, so when he recovers, Shimon doesn't get anything, because when he gave to Shimon, there was nothing left. Nothing left, and therefore, when he recovers, it's cancelled. Yeah? But, so therefore, only Reuven gets something. Yeah? Because he only had a 50% gift, and therefore, that doesn't get cancelled. But if it's talking about after he died, then it doesn't make a difference which one he gave to first. Travaya Likni. Yeah, then they should both get. Yeah, Reuven should get his bit, and Shimon should get his bit. If the guy died, because he's not changing his mind once he's dead. Right? Elamai, so it must be talking about where the guy lived. And therefore the ratio will also be talking about where the guy lived. Even if you say we're talking about where he lived, we want to get to the answer. When he gave, when his chazar b'miktzas, does it count or not? When he canceled Reuven's, he canceled 50% of Reuven's and gave it to Shimon. Does that mean that Reuven is now out of the picture altogether, or does he still maintain 50% of the original? If you'll say that when he said to Reuven 100% to you, when he then gave Shimon 50%, Reuven now gets zero, that's why Shimon gets his bit. Yeah. But if when he changed his mind on 50% and gave it to Shimon, that's not considered turning Reuven down to zero, then the whole thing should be like he's giving it out. Yeah? Because he's talking in one action. And therefore Reuven should still get his 50, and Shimon should still get his 50, and there was nothing excluded. And if he recovers, nobody should get anything. Why is the second guy getting something? If he recovers and he had given everything away, he should get then it should all be cancelled, and he should be back to nothing. And therefore, it must be that we're going to say that that part when he cancels the 50% of Reuven's, he canceled the whole thing and Reuven's down to zero. And now there's the other 50% which is maintained by the guy dying, and therefore it was not a complete gift, and therefore even if he recovers, the guy who's got the 50% keeps it. The Hilchasa, yeah, the Hilchasa the Halacha is Chazor b'mitzvah Savi Chazor b'chula. Once you change your mind, if you say to Reuven, I'm giving you 100%, and then you change your mind and give 50% of it to Shimon, that actually means Reuven's down to zero. Now, how does that work? And therefore, Reisha Meshkachas L'Bem Mishameis B'Em Mishamah, so therefore the first part works either way. Whether he lived or died, Reuven ain't getting nothing anymore because he's down to zero. And Seifa L'Meshkachas L'Elekesh Omah, the second part, where Shimon gets only as if the guy recovered. Okay, Yibaylahu, we'll try to quickly finish off. Hektish called Nechasa V'yamat. So, new thing. What happens if instead of giving it all away, he made it hektish? And then he recovered. So, we said if he gives it all away and recovers, then he cancels the whole thing. What if it was Maktish it and then recovered? Does he cancel it or not? Mahu, me, Amrina, Kolagabe Hektish, Gomorrah Maktish. Do we say he's more generous to Hektish? And therefore, even if he recovers, he doesn't cancel all the gift he gave to Hektish? Oy Dilma, or we say, Kolagabe Nafshe, since it's a question between him and Hektish, Le Gomorrah Maktish. I love Hektish, but I love myself more. And therefore, if I survive, I want it back. And then what happens, even if you'll say he gave way to Hektish, what about Hefker called the Chasama? What if he made everything Hefker? He said, I'm giving, it's just ownerless. Anyone can come and take it. Miyam Rinandu, we say, Kevin the Aflanim Kashirim. Since he didn't specify it's for the poor, it's for whoever wants to come and grab it. Poor like rich. Gomer Makne. So basically he was just deciding, I've had enough of all this property, I'm giving it all away. Dilma, or still, do we say, Kolagabe Nafsha Le Gomer Makne. Since the choice is between him and everybody else, he keeps it for himself. What about, and if you'll say then he keeps it for himself, what about Chila Kol Nechasav La'anim, if he gave it mamish to the poor? My, is he going to change his mind if he recovers? Miriam Minin Tzedakah Vada Emim Ragomer Makni. Do we say, since he's giving it to Tzedakah, he has in mind that you keep it no matter what happens, I'm not changing my mind if I survive? Or even when it comes to Tzedakah, if it's a case of retaining something for himself, he would not give it away to the poor unless he's going to die. If he recovers, he will keep it for himself. And all of those questions, we say, Teiku. All right, we'll leave it over here. Two more lines.